first reading from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 through 13. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty. So it shall accomplish that which I propose, and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy, and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall be the Lord for a memorial, or an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The word of the Lord. The second reading, Psalm 65, verses 1 through 13. You are to be praised, O God in Zion. To you shall vows be fulfilled. To you, the one who answers prayer, to you all flesh shall come. Our sins are stronger than we are, but you blot out our transgressions. Happy are they whom you choose and draw to your courts to dwell there. They will be satisfied by the beauty of your house, by the holiness of your temple. Awesome things will you show us in your righteousness, O God of salvation. O hope of all the ends of the earth and of the oceans far away. You make firm the mountains by your power. You are girded about with might. You still the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the clamor of their peoples. Those who dwell at the end of the earth will tremble at your marvelous signs. You make the dawn and the dusk to sing for joy. You visit the earth and water it abundantly. You make it very plenteous. The river of God is full of water. You prepare the grain, for so you provide for the earth. You drench the furrows and smooth out the ridges. With heavy rain you soften the ground and bless its increase. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths overflow with plenty. May the fields of the wilderness be rich for grazing, and the hills be clothed with joy. May the meadows cover themselves with flocks, and the valleys cloak themselves with grain. Let them shout for joy and sing.
Our gospel reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9 and 18 to 23. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what it was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The Gospel of our Lord. The parable that I just read to you today is one of my favorite parables. Perhaps it is because I am a gardener and a wannabe farmer at heart. I love to plant seeds and watch them grow, and then reap the bountiful harvest that comes in the fall. I took the last couple years off from planting a big garden. The busyness of my internship and schoolwork kept me occupied, and I ended up growing way more weeds than vegetable plants. The soil in our garden was also really tired and depleted. Nothing was really growing all that well. Well, except for those nasty weeds. So Greg and I decided that we would let it rest for a year or so. And this spring, we added some manure from a neighbor down the road, and we planted our garden in late May. I tried to get out for a little bit each day to weed and hill the plants, and so far, we are being rewarded with some really wonderful growth. I know from our conversations that many of you also enjoy gardening and working away in your flower beds, making your planter pots and planter boxes. If the pandemic has given us anything positive, it is the extra time to spend nurturing and enjoying nature and God's life-giving creation. So many of us can relate to this parable because of our love of gardening or farming. But as I studied and reflected on the parable this week, I began to wonder if Jesus was really talking about the literal process of sowing the seeds and reaping the harvest. Or was he trying to teach the disciples and us something else besides gardening in general? The first century was not easy for Jesus' followers. There was much poverty, persecution, and oppression, much like what is happening now in modern-day Palestine. Folks are having to leave out of fear. And the followers back in Jesus' day faced rejection from both religious leaders of the times and even their families. You have heard me speak a couple times in the past few months that many families were divided over faith and belief in the radical grace of Jesus Christ. Jesus was well aware of the difficulties he faced. He knew what the cost of his beliefs was. And he knew that life would be difficult for the disciples and the crowds who chose to follow him. So, let us look at this parable of sowing and harvesting from a viewpoint of discipleship, the cost of discipleship, and the realities of discipleship in our lives today. We begin with the sower of the seeds. Just who is the sower? Is it a farmer? Or is it Jesus? Jesus goes out and he sows the seed or the word of God with reckless and wild abandon all over the place. Not in picture-perfect rows made by GPS coordinates prepared while sitting in an air-conditioned tractor, or lines of string attached to sticks in the ground in our home gardens. Jesus is fully aware that not all of the seeds will land safely in the right type of soil, that not all of them will grow. But he is generous and loving and throws them wherever the wind takes them. The soil. The soil in our parable represents the crowds who follow Jesus and us. And as we all know, there are diverse types of folks in the world, all having different views, circumstances, and opinions, just like the diverse soils that the seeds landed in and that Jesus spoke of. Jesus threw the seeds on hardened paths where few will grow because they become food for birds and wildlife. Some landed on rocky ground where the seeds find a space to root, but the roots cannot grow deep enough, and they soon dry out and shrivel up when a long period of moistureless days appear. Think of the past few weeks in our area. Some of the seeds land among the thorns and are quickly choked of any available space because of the fast-growing thorn bushes. But some fall directly onto perfect soil that has been lovingly prepared by overturning the soil and adding manure and giving it the right amount of rain. Can we imagine who these types of people are in our modern society? The hardened paths may represent those who have been trampled on in society, people of color, the LGBTQ2A community, the homeless, the poor, the addicted. The rocky ground could be folks who say they believe and trust in God, but give up and give in when times get hard. They lose faith. The thorns represent some folks who worry more about wealth and keeping up with the Joneses than being true disciples of Christ. They worry more about money than walking with one another and being the voice of those who have no voice in the world. Greed can block out the word of God and the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. Of course, the last soil, the fertile and well-prepared soil, is where we all want to be as followers of Jesus Christ. We want to accept the word and live out the works of Jesus Christ in the world. We want to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in our world and in our community. And in doing so, we grow in spirit and in trust, spreading the good news of the gospel and loving one another as we have all been unconditionally loved by God. But truth be told, we are not always the good soil. We are perfectly imperfect human beings who get angry, we doubt, we worry, and we think we can do it all on our own without any help from anyone else. Sometimes we are that rocky ground, that hardened path, that thorn bush choking out everything else that is living around it. But that is the point of the parable. God doesn't care. And I say that not meaning that God doesn't care, but God knows that we are imperfect. God knows that we are human, and that is why Jesus throws the seeds everywhere, in the broken and barren, hardened, rocky, and weedy spots in our lives. Through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, every day we are given new life, and we can be steadfast in the knowledge that God brings the promise of hope and trust in the world. There is always love, and there is always understanding in knowing that God does not give up on us, ever. Let me say that again. God does not give up on us, ever. The seeds of God's word will always be thrown exactly where they need to be thrown. God is generous and loving, and God meets us exactly where we are at, in the brokenness, in the addiction, in the worry, in the doubt, and in the pain, and in the joy of our lives, providing us with bushels of abundant love and mercy, and the gifts of hope, grace, and compassion in a tired and weary world. And for that I say, thanks be to God. Amen. Our hymn of the day is We Plow the Fields and Scatter. It's hymn number 681 in the ELW, and there is also a YouTube link which you may follow.